Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I would suggest at that stage, if the crowd gets up, they just go for it. Hello everybody, my name's James, and for the benefit of those listening to the audio, you're listening to the deadline stream for game week 38, except it's nearly a full 48 hours ahead of the deadline. Yes, I'm off to Elland Road on Sunday, so I won't be around for a deadline stream, and to be honest, I quite fancy taking Saturday off. Therefore, the deadline stream is brought forward to today. Over the next 50 minutes or so, I'll be answering as many FPL dilemmas as possible from the FPL community on anything they want ahead of a game week 38, which is going to be rotation heavy and very hard to predict. For the benefit of those watching live on YouTube, thanks for joining in. Get your questions in. I'm going to take you through the graphics first. This stream will be a little bit slower than the normal deadline stream, just purely as this is going to go out as audio content as well. Excuse me. Firstly, let me take you through my team as it stands bust at the moment. That's a 3-4-3 of Steele in goal, Trippier, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Luke Shaw, Mohamed Salah, Alexis McAllister, Karim Mitoma, Marcus Rashford, Julian Alvarez, Erling Haaland and Alexander Isak. In reserve, I got Kepa, Grealish, Lindelof, Botman. I'm not sure I can be 100% certain that any of my players start game week 38, and that's how it feels for many right now. At the moment, I've got the captaincy bust on Mo Salah, but that's a little bit concerning considering Jurgen Klopp's comments this morning. What I would like to do is work a way to get Harry Kane into my team. There are a couple of different ways I can potentially do it. I think if I got word that Salah was starting on Sunday, I think he's the best option. Harry Kane, we know what we're getting though, right? We're getting 85 plus minutes and we know it. For all the other key players, we really don't know that this weekend. And that's why I think the closer we get to deadline, the more people might lead into Kane. Now, what I've done with my top 10 captaincy picks this week, rather than picking a top 10, I've picked a best player from all 10 games this week. And I've put them into an order that I prefer. So I do think if I heard Salah is in the team against Southampton, quite happy to captain him. Then I think Harry Kane, Bukayo Saka of Arsenal, another one. I think if he gets the nod, new contract this week, keen to do business in Arsenal's final home game, having disappointed the last few, I think would be a decent shout. But I certainly openly admit that this moment in time, if you were going to buy an Arsenal midfielder, it's got to be Odegaard because he's the one that we know would play. Erling Haaland in the City-Brentford game. Marcus Rashford in United-Fulham would expect him to start. Ollie Watkins in the Villa Brighton game, Callum Wilson in the Newcastle Chelsea game, Ebe Eze against Nottingham Forest for Crystal Palace, Ian Acho in the Leicester West Ham fixture, and I actually think Abdullah Doucouré is the best shout from the Everton Bournemouth fixture. My correct score predictions for all 10 games at the weekend are on screen. I'm predicting them as this: 3-0 to Arsenal, 2-1 to Villa, 1-1 between Brentford and Manchester City, Newcastle to win 2-1 at Chelsea, 2-0 wins for Crystal Palace and Everton, that would secure safety for Everton, 3-2 to Tottenham at Elland Road as per yesterday's clash to correspondents, Leicester and West Ham 2-2, United to beat Fulham 2-1, and Liverpool, irrespective of how much I think they may change against St Mary's on Sunday, to beat Southampton 4-0. right at the bottom of the screen. FPL captain, my man, congratulations, got married last Friday, mate. Yes, I can confirm he's still married and happy, no divorces yet. The man on the graphics would normally have up the remaining fixtures. There are none left, so he's put a form guide up for all 20 teams with their win, draw, loss record over their last five fixtures. And the benching dilemma screen, where there are two players together, the player with the tick is the preferred option for selection. So I would pick Watkins over Wilson, Wilson over Isak, Isak over Alvarez, Alvarez over Mahrez, Mahrez over Trippier, Trippier over Ferguson, Ferguson over Mitoma, Mitoma over McAllister, McAllister over Grealish, Grealish over White, White over Estupinan, Estupinan over Shaw, who's a big risk, I guess he's a doubt at the moment as well, Shaw over Stones, Stones over Lindelof, Lindelof over Botman, Botman over Mings, and finally, for the goalkeepers, De Gea over Edison, Edison over Steele, Steele over Kepa, Kepa over Rea. I'm not predicting clean sheets for any of those keepers this weekend. In any case, that will continue to rotate for you, on for those on YouTube, during the course of the stream. Right, let's get into the questions. Hollis Stamos is first. Says, hello, James. Thanks for a fun season of podcasts. Opinion on it hits if we start getting leaks of massive rotation for players in our team. So one of the things I was conscious of last week when I sold Rico Henry, rather than a Trippier and leaving more money in the bank, was this scenario that I may very well need a big cluster of my bench, including the likes of Lindelof and Botman this week. Rather that come off the bench than Henry at home to Manchester City. And that's why that decision was made. So yeah, sure, I had loads of Newcastle defensive points on the bench last week, but that's what I wanted, was the biggest variety of choice this week. And I certainly have got no guarantee of 11 starters or even 11 players, I think, this weekend. And as I said, I think many will fall into that line. So, yeah, I think hits would be perfectly reasonable if there's information that comes our way. What I'd say for me, Holler, is that I'm going to be in Leeds. I'm going up to Leeds about 1:30. Deadline's obviously 3:00. And for those who listen to me on the podcast after I went to Villa, to be honest, I very nearly missed the deadline. And I'm not sure that I really want to leave it lastminute.com. So it might be what I decide to do is make a decision to get Harry in early, because I know that he'll play, and get someone else in who I'd be extremely confident would play, perhaps as an Ebayeze. So I've got a bit of money in the bank where I can probably force Kane in without selling Haaland, captain him, because at least then, right, I'm comfortable, I've got a good captaincy choice this week, and probably downgrade Grealish to Eze. It might mean a couple of moves. It might mean I go something like Shaw and Mina as well, for example. But yeah, from probably being in the principal idea of no hits this week would be an advantage, I imagine they're going to be flying around near the end, subject to the information that comes through. So that as well, for me, I'm ranked, what, 260k roughly. Does it matter if I finish 280k, 240k? No. So A, I'm not that fast. I realise that won't be the case for everyone, obviously. But B, yeah, I might have some fun with it and take a minus 8. I took a minus 8 on the final day of the, I think it was the 18-19 season. And I bought some big hitting players in, admittedly, that week, because I'd had some money spare in the bank. And it was Mane, Trent and someone else, and they all returned quite well, and the hit really paid off. It was about a net 15 profit on top of the hit. I wouldn't expect that this time, but I guess if I'm going to put the captaincy on a player I'm taking a hit for as well, that will justify it a little more. But yeah, I think up to minus 8, subject to your circumstances, be fine. I mean, more than that, probably no. Minus 4 is probably fine, to be totally honest. I think without information, we will naturally be drawn to players that we know are going to play, the likes of Harry Kane. I mean, we'd probably be confident that Rodrigo will play in that fixture today. Everton players, as silly as it sounds, we know what Sean Dyche will do with his team, roughly. The question might be in Mikalenko's fitness and how it will affect Dwight McNeil, for example. But I think, yeah, the idea of, I was talking about potentially taking a minus 4 for Saka and Odegaard. Odegaard, maybe. I'm not going for Saka following that news today from Arteta that there's potentially a small doubt about him. That small doubt is enough to make me think, taking a hit for this player. But yeah, it's fine. Ian PTSD says, happy end of season, James. Thanks, as always, for the content this season. No question this time. But after my minus 8 working out last week, been coming for minus 12 this week just for the laughs. I'll go for it, mate. I'm not going to go back on what I said. I mean, minus 12 is probably a little bit too much. But yeah, listen, if you want to enjoy yourself final day, do it. And good luck to Everton at the weekend, Ian. Roseanne Fleur says, my mini-league rival is 37 points behind me. He will transfer in Harry Kane and captain him. I have Salah and can't get to Kane to block him. Should I be worried because I can see Leeds Spurs go off? Depends how much difference in your team. What do we put Kane's ceiling at? This is a really good day. Harry Kane scores twice, let's say. What are we looking at there? A 13-pointer? 13-pointer times 2, 26. You've still got an 11 advantage on that. How close is the rest of your team? I'd highly recommend most people pick a vice-captain that they know is going to play this week. That would be a responsible thing to do. Like, for example, at the moment, I've got it bust on Salah captain and Haaland vice. And I can't see that being what I do at the weekend. I'd be more likely to go with somewhere I know the definite minutes are. I'd probably be more likely to go captain Haaland vice Alvarez and know that right, at least one of them will get the minutes or start, for example. It's a smart idea to go a vice captain, you know, play. Look, you could block it off, Roseanne, and take a minus 4 and sell Mo Salah and get Harry Kane in. And it might even be something I consider as well. So if I decide that I'm happy to leave it late and then Mo Salah's not in the Liverpool team at Southampton, then that's probably quite straightforward for me to sell Mo, get Harry Kane in, minus 4, that's the end of it. I could get Salah to Odegaard and Alvarez or Isak to Kane and captain. And that's the sort of move I think people will be waiting on quite late, possibly. There's certain teams that we've been good at getting information on early this season. Liverpool have been one. Manchester City might be another. Tottenham, you probably don't need it. You don't need to know with Harry Kane, right? So if he gets off the coach, he's playing. And there's no reason to think he won't look like all players. He could pick up an injury in training tomorrow, but you'd be bloody unlucky if that was the scenario. Bloomer Caldera says, James Lindon versus Chris Stone in the final of the Planet FPL Correspondents Cup. I beat Sudge by 5 points in the semi-finals. Yes, I did. So I've taken one West Ham fan out, and I'm going to take the other one out in the final now. Tiffy Ferreira says, has Harry Kane decided to stay at Tottenham next season and run out his contract? He possibly, yeah. I think, look, I'm a little tired of talking about this just because I've reiterated my stance on this very much. And I very much agree with what Ricky Saunders said on Clash of Correspondence yesterday, that if Tottenham do wrap up seventh, then I think he'll want to stay. And he'll know that's a realistic chance to win a trophy next season. And it might be a kind of good happy ending story, if you will. Similar as it might be for Declan Rice this summer, should West Ham win that trophy on Wednesday week. Should Tottenham finish 8th, which is the most probable scenario at the moment, because Villa are kind of rated 50-50 by the bookies to beat Brighton, but then you need Villa not to win and Tottenham to win as well to overhaul that. So Villa are certainly favourites to finish 7th. And if Tottenham don't finish 7th, then the situation may well change. But I will reiterate my opinion that I've said several times. The football club is a mess at the moment and the fan base is absolutely gunning for Daniel Levy. I do not think he will sell Harry Kane unless the money is eye-watering, where even Tottenham fans would have to look at it and go, yeah, take it. And you'll all know my stance is that actually, subject to whoever the new manager is and what he thinks going forwards, it might even be better to restart and go again, and maybe next season probably would be worse without Kane than with him, but just start and go with a new philosophy. Because whoever comes in new, let's say they do well, there's every chance they come in new and they've got to restructure the team again for year two anyway, because obviously Kane could leave next year. I think the football club are hoping that this time next year, if they haven't got an agreement with Kane in place, that there might not be anywhere for Kane to go that he wants to go and therefore may stay. And Tottenham would happily offer him a very long-term contract on very good terms, which other clubs might not actually be able to match. That's what I think Tottenham are hoping for. If he goes, it goes with my blessing and very best of luck. Harry Kane should have left Tottenham 3 or 4 years ago. That first summer under Mourinho, he should have smelt what was coming and got himself out. Obviously, the next year come round, and Man City never offered the money that Tottenham wanted. If City had, he probably would have gone. That's the reality. Jim says, hi, James. Now that this terrible game of misery and pain is coming to an end, can you recommend another way to make yourself feel frustrated and regretful over the summer? Thanks for the top content. What have we got? Women's World Cups, might be women's fantasy, for example. Get yourself involved in some of the Scandinavian fantasy leagues or MLS, for example, if that's your gig. Samson says, apart from Salah, who's the best midfielder for this week? I think Eze is going to be very popular. And I think now that there's probably a little bit of, I was going to say clarity, that's not true. It's not clarity on the Arsenal situation. But right now it feels like the only one you can probably buy is Odegaard. And he probably is at a price bracket that most people can get to, should they want to do so. So I think those two will be pretty popular. Then it's subject to the lineups, right? I would love to have sat here and said to you, Luis Diaz would be a brilliant pump for this week. I probably am of the position now that he's probably more unlikely than likely to start, for example. So it's tough. It's really tough. You look at so many players who are attractive, and you come back to that. And that's why people like Kane, Son, if he's affordable to people, you know, maybe even last minute people go, perhaps people have already still got Kane, go, right, I'm going Salah to Son. If Salah's not in the Liverpool team, for example. That's why you'll be drawn to people like Kane, Son, Eze at Palace, Odegaard now of Arsenal. These players feel they've got good fixtures and they feel certain to start. Adaminem95 says, James, thanks so much for your fantastic content this season. Hope you enjoy a much-deserved break. Thank you. My question is, Firmino with one free transfer. Wait on early team news. Otherwise, thinking McAllister to Eze. I'm happy with my ranking both overall and mini leagues, but want to do something fun on the last day. Then absolutely do something fun on the last day. I would say that I would imagine as McAllister didn't play on Wednesday, he probably will play on Sunday. And he might be one of the more sober players in that Brighton squad at the moment. It's another one. If Firmino's in the team and that information is available, then that becomes a very interesting punt right at the end. Yeah, of course it does. Playing what's been the worst team in the league, and I think they'll win comfortably, irrespective of who plays for them on Sunday. So, yeah, sure. Alfredo says, you are 59 points behind Suj, so get ready to give £50 to Suj. Can you catch Suj with differential captain Harry Kane? I could captain Harry Kane and he could get 7 goals and I still wouldn't catch Suj. I've been very aware, probably since game week 32 or 33, that it was impossible. It was impossible then for me to catch Suj because the team I had, I knew he wasn't wild kind to block me, but I knew he wanted similar players to what I already had. So it became impossible to try and catch him at that stage. This bastard still owes me £50 from last year in any case, right? And the year before. And 2 years before that, and the year before that, actually doesn't owe me for them. So listen, if he wants his £50, he can just take it out of my wages. John Robson says, hi, James. I'll be offline from 9 a.m. on Sunday because of work. Any thoughts on what your mindset would be in this scenario without access to any leaks? I imagine there'll be a fair few in the same boat. I'd let tonight go by, and I'd probably wait and see if there was any information on perhaps travelling party players. So, you know, Liverpool to Southampton, they'll obviously travel on Saturday night. Could we get any information on one or two Liverpool players who didn't travel? And whether we did or we didn't, I would make my decision on Saturday night and I'd get on with it. And to be honest, I'd probably be picking from a pool of players that I'd think, right, you're definitely going to play for me. So again, sorry, it's repetitive. The Canes, the Odegaards, the Ezers, or defensively, to be honest, Yerry Mina's, if he's fit. That's the only thing between him. Mina's a little bit more of a threat than Tarkowski, but Mina's more of a threat to himself. He might go off injured after 10 minutes. But I'd probably punt Mina over Tarkowski. You know, Mark Gay, Joachim Anderson, Crystal Palace, for example, another team who might do very well and kick a clean sheet this weekend with that 15-pointer as a possibility. I'd be picking from players like that, and I'd get it done Saturday night, and I'd forget about it, mate. If you've got plans in your life, you've got plans in your life, right? Dave 2 says, hi, James. Who do you prefer from McNeil, Rodrigo, Xhaka or Smith Rowe as a punt for Mitoma / McAllister? I think Rodrigo from that lot, in all honesty. I think we have to assume from Sam Allardyce's comments today, Rodrigo's trained today. Bamford hasn't. But Allardyce said that he'd basically risk anybody at the weekend if they could show fitness. So I think we'd assume Rodrigo trains today, another day tomorrow, then game Sunday. yeah, Rodrigo should play. So yeah, that would be the one. OOP, and Bamford's not trained, right? So he's highly likely to play as the central striker. His goals record's pretty good. Christian Romero is going to be out for Tottenham, so it's probably going to be Sanchez and Longley. That's not good. So it would be Rodrigo. Dan, the FPL fan, says, hello, mate. Good luck predicting this. It's impossible this week, Dan. Thanks for doing this over the whole season and all the other content. You're the best in the business. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much, mate. Owen White says, in my Mini League Cup final, the guy I'm playing as double Liverpool defence, Trent and VVD, along with Salah. I only have Salah. Would you gamble against Liverpool defence and double up in attack or go against? I wouldn't add Trent, for example, at that stage. I think you're going against and you're waiting and hoping on that information where you can get, you know, someone like a Firmino or a Diaz or Jota, if you've got that information, and gamble that way. But any doubt, I mean, buying into Liverpool without the information looks really difficult at this moment. So I would imagine the team that I predicted for the advanced tier patrons on the team new stream I just did, I think I predicted 6 or 7 Liverpool changes. And to be honest, I've VVD, Trent and Salah still all starting. But it would be no shock if none of them started. Literal no shock. He said he wanted to give opportunities to people, right? Joe Gomez play right back. Yeah, sure. Could it be Matip and Gomez at centre back? Yeah, sure. Could he play Diaz or Jota on the right? Could he try Nunes in that position? Sure. Could he play Carvalho or Elliot even in a front three on the right? Yeah, sure. So that looks quite worrying with the Liverpool assets at the moment. So you need the info. I wouldn't bother going into the defence, Owen, because I think they'll win comfortably, but they could win 4-1, 5-1, couldn't they? Ali Bismo says, hi, James. No questions. Just want to say great content throughout the season. Brilliant work. Enjoy the off-season, mate. Cheers. Thanks very much, Ali. It's really appreciated. We're not finished yet, I should say. There'll be content up till June the 9th, which is the day before Champions League final. Got a really good week of content, I hope, coming up for you this week as well. Paul Woodhead says, any punch you like for game week 38, free hitters? Yeah, but it's now harder. So personally, I would want to go treble Arsenal, treble Liverpool. But that looks dicey now, doesn't it? It looks dicey. Kane would be in. The way it's beginning to look, I'd be very tempted to go Son. I'd be quite tempted to go Rashford because I think he will start. These aren't punts. Garnacho might be one to throw into the mix. I think probably gets a start for United at the weekend. And I mean, what a facilitator from Price is 4.1, I think, isn't he? I like Doucouré of Everton, as I've said. I think that's the one from that fixture. More than McNeil, in my opinion. I think particularly with Calvert-Lewin out, he'll be the one to task really to get into the box and arrive at time. I think that'll be a key responsibility for him in that fixture. Iheanacho is not a guaranteed starter for Leicester. We know that because there's every chance Barnes and Maddison come back in. Could he play all four and play like a 4-2-2-2? Yes, possibly. But I imagine it'll probably be Iheanacho and Vardy with Maddison behind, I think, and probably Tielemans will play a deeper role because Ndidi is a big doubt. So Iheanacho would be another name to throw in there as a real punt. Ollie Watkins, most people have come off. Brighton might turn up drunk on Sunday. Who's next? Rose Mendes says, hi, James. I have Short, Akanji, Konate, Trippier and Botman as my defenders. Three of them are high doubts. Should I use my free transfer on defenders or ignore them and bring an attacker? Depends who your attackers are, Rose, right? So yeah, are you happy with it? I would prioritise the offensive if you've got similar concerns in that way. I would say Shaw's unlikely to play, and I'm aware of that. I've got him as well. Your situation is not too dissimilar to mine. It's a little worse because Konate probably won't play either. I would say the other three probably will. Trippier, Botman, double Newcastle defensive at Chelsea is not horrendous, and I think Akanji probably plays. So it's dependent on what your situation is with your offensive players as well. Wavy Wavy says, hi, James. No question. Just want to thank you for all the help you've given this and every season. Thank you very much. Yeah, I suppose I'll be back next year. Josh Hinchcliffe says, hi, mate. How many minutes do you reckon Sonny will play this weekend? Could you see a haul from him? Thanks. It's possible. Yeah, I'd certainly think Kane is a better shout than him. I do think there's a possibility Tottenham might play a 4-3-3 this weekend, which we haven't seen yet. That's just on the basis that he's probably got Højbjerg, Bissouma and Skip to pick from for the first time, and he might try it. And I don't think Dan Juma particularly impressed last week, and I'm not fussed about Richarlison. So you might be going back to the front three at its best, with Kane dropping in and Sonny looking to come inside and beyond that. So, yeah, look, Sonny's very capable, particularly, obviously, if Leeds are chasing the game. You know that on the counter-attack. So, yeah, I wouldn't have any doubts about Sonny starting. I'd be extremely surprised if he didn't start. I wouldn't say it's a certainty, like Harry's a certainty, but, you know, sort of 97, 98%. And from there, you expect him to play 75, 80 minutes, I guess, subject to how it's going. Who's next? Birth Media says, where to from slot? Lopetegui, Potter, Mason. It won't be Ryan Mason. It won't be Lopetegui either. The word over the last couple of hours is he's sorted it out with Wolves and he's probably going to stay. Potter, the fans won't like because of the Chelsea association. Again, it's failed at Chelsea. Well, only failed at Tottenham. And yet, ironically, probably would have been my first choice back in the summer of 2021. I'm very tired of thinking about it. You all know who I want, right? And I just think Tottenham should get the checkbook out and offer literally whatever it takes. And if he says no, he says no. For those who've never listened before, I'm obviously talking about Brighton's manager. But I'm really tired of, you know, I just kind of got to the point. We did our Patreon pod Wednesday and I spoke about Slot a little bit and looking like he was in pole position. And then I began to do a bit of research on him Wednesday night because it looked really strong that like there might even be information Thursday morning. Sure enough, there was. The information was it's off. He's staying at Feyenoord and he signed a new contract. Good luck to him, by the way. I'm going to go down the route and start researching Postecoglou. I haven't watched enough of Celtic to give an opinion. It's the honest truth. And if it's Postecoglou, like, fine, I'll look into him stuff. I literally only hear good things. But I'm beyond the preference point now. I would say I'm not bothered if it's him. There's a lot of names involved at the moment that it's more even from the fan base perspective. I know the fans are not going to be happy if it's Potter. I know the fans are not going to be happy if it's Brendan Rodgers. There are certain names who it can't be. Someone like Postecoglou, I'm more than happy to say, okay, cool, that's who it's going to be. Let's get on with it. But to say I want him, it's a lie. There's only one person that I want. There's only one person I've ever wanted for this job. And I think Tottenham should be doing everything in their powers to try and get him. And why would he leave Brighton? No, I agree. I'm not arguing. And I think there's every chance he would say no. But I absolutely think Tottenham should be all over it. And it looks like they've not tried. And I don't understand that, is my take. Unless they've had a call from Brighton in the first instance and said, don't even fucking bother. Which they might have. Christian Perfus says, will Harry Kane score a hat-trick or brace in game week 38 as he normally does on the final game weeks in previous seasons? That's not specifically true, is it? I mean, he's had goals and assists the last couple of years on the final day. Trying to think back further. But yeah, I mean, we've been away the last 3 years. He's scored in all of them. He's assisted in the last two as well. Year before that, he wouldn't have played because he was injured. Year before that, 17-18, would it be due final day? That was the Leicester crazy, wasn't it? I think, yeah. 5-4 Leicester. Year before that was the hat-trick at Hull. So, I mean, he does like a final day. And other than the Leicester one, all away games as well. And Harry's never bothered away versus home. So, look, I would fancy him to score. I've always fancied Harry to score. He's broken the record, unbelievably, this year for most different Premier League games scored in. I think he's at 25 now, might be 26. Brilliant. He's played in every game. Consistent as, managed to get through the season with no injury. Touch wood. You know, he comes through Sunday, okay. So, of course, I fancy Harry to score in every game, no matter who he plays. So, look, he's a safe bet, isn't he? Does he haul? To be honest, the hauls haven't really been there this year, and we have to admit that. But Sunday's the sort of day where it might be there. Birth Media says, thoughts on Edouard or Mitrovic as a punt for Isak? Did you watch Chelsea last night? I'm not sure I'd be that bothered about selling Isak. Even if he plays left back again, he might return. prefer Edouard over Mitrovic. JP says, what do you think of Haaland to Kane captain as a punt? I might do it. I might decide it might come out Sunday and it's like Haaland's out and I'm doing it, aren't I? If I end up waiting late, And there's also the case to say I'm not captaining Haaland, should just remove him anyway. And that might be what I do. I might just go, sod it. I'm going to Haaland to Kane and that's it. That's my week. It might be what I end up doing. FTLOL podcast this afternoon. James, Haaland, Bruno and Isak to Kane, Son and Ings or other forward under 6.8 worth of minus 4. I can't recall what price Antonio is, mate, but I think Antonio will start over Danny Ings. I imagine West Ham. I think the only one for West Ham that I think there'll be a rest or a change from other than the goalkeeper for their Conference League final projected team would be. He'll want to get minutes in Agüero. So I think Agüero will start, and he'll probably look at it and go no risk to Zuma. That's what I think they might do. Otherwise, I think you'll want to pick the team that played a Conference League final, and I think Antonio is part of that. So Danny Ings would not be on the agenda for me. Harry and Son, fine. You know that the players you're taking out there, if they start, could all do very well. I'm not going to tell you anything about these players that you don't already know, other than what I've said. I think Antonio will start. Forwards under 6.8. I mean, Edouard had just been mentioned. I think it's a very decent shout. Iheanacho. I'd prefer Iheanacho to Ings if I had to pump one of them this weekend. Njiceman says, hello, good afternoon to you all. Paul Lewis says, I don't have a question because I have no idea what I want to do. Thanks for all your work this season, James. I can only apologise to say that's how I feel about it as well at the moment. JP says, how do you think Arsenal injuries affect them? Who will get the most returns? That the safe answer for me right now is say Odegaard, then Jesus. But I think if Saka starts, I think Saka's the best choice this weekend. That's still my opinion. And, you know, Arteta said, oh, there's a bit of a doubt about him. I mean, what does it even mean? Doesn't really mean anything to us, does it? John Lloyd says, bring in and captain Ramsey or Watkins. Well, I'd have to recommend Watkins on that basis. But I do think Jacob Ramsey is probably a really nice alternative to Ebe Eze that most people won't consider this week. Jay says, what's to do about Brighton mids? So this time last week, there was lots of talk of selling Matoma because it was like an assumption he wouldn't play against Southampton. He started twice. And Sisso is obviously a major doubt. There's no information on Brighton. There's no De Zerbi press conference today. But I certainly saw him, you know, trying to run on the pitch after the game and he looked knackered, to be honest, in terms of certainly there was a big limp there. So he's got to be a major doubt. And that just adds into McAllister playing. And it adds into the chances of Mitoma starting again as well. So I don't think there's a panic with them. I'm probably more worried about other players in my team than the Brighton guys right now. And certainly in terms of defensive ones anyway. JFPL says, hi James, is there a better punt than Alvarez at that sort of value? Not if Alvarez is going to start, no. But will he? I'm probably on the no side of that fence at the moment. So, I mean, players I've mentioned, Iheanacho, Edouard, be the two, probably. JP says, thoughts on Lewis Hall being Chelsea's best player of late? He's done quite well in the last couple of games, hasn't he? It was astonishing that he got top bonus last night. I've not looked into the reasons for why that happened, but that's quite something. It looks a good, talented player, and it's probably a little bit of fresh air almost in Chelsea's team at the moment, that there's so many underwhelming. There's a young boy come in and done quite well, and when he had his little period in the team under Potter, I thought he equipped himself quite well as well. So looks like a good talent. It's worth saying left back's probably not his real position. As I keep getting told, he's a midfield player really. Hello to FPL Sparta. Triple Trapton says, would you move on Grealish to Saka or Diaz for a -4? Probably not either of those two for reasons already given on this podcast. But yeah, Grealish, I'm considering moving. But I think there's every chance Foden doesn't play. And that adds into the narrative that Grealish might come back in. And then am I that bothered about selling? I see that game being quite low scoring, actually, which is unusual for a Manchester City game. I backed Brentford to get a draw, actually. So I think he's expendable. But without Saka or Diaz information, I can't recommend either of them currently. JP says, thoughts on why Mahrez is so far out wide, hindering his potential output, in my opinion. But he always hugs the touchline. At the moment, it's a little bit worse, right? Because you could make this case in terms of Grealish on the other side as well. And we know he had a little spell in those Liverpool and Southampton fixtures, which meant a lot of people like me ended up buying. But with the inverted fullback coming into midfield, there is a huge responsibility for the two wide players to stay high and wide, and occasionally they have to come short towards the ball as well. So that's your reason, really. I think we should probably analyse it more. Maybe Johnny Pringle's coming on Clash of Correspondence next week. Maybe it's something I'll ask of him, is if he thinks that the inverted fullback tactical structure is harming the returns of City's wide players in general. And maybe there's something in that. Maybe, you know, someone smarter than me will have a look at the statistics on that, maybe. Stephen Moore says, hi, James. No question due to the 17 million transfer combinations that could arise from leaks. Thanks for your advice and content this season. Enjoy the break. And to you too. But to repeat, we'll still be going until June 9th. And then we'll be back on Monday, July the 3rd. Yusuf says, if we know that Mitoma or Trippier or Estupinan is benched, is it worth to take a -4 and sell one or two of them? Yeah, but again, subject to what your benching cover is and who you want to buy as well, right? Tom Dart says, I'm chasing 12 points in two different mini leagues. How aggressive do you think I need to be, considering there could be gains to be made with a lot of rotation players? It's true. But you know that the likes of, what did Eze get the other week in his last home game? Was it 16 points? That's you made up there. We know that sort of return is unlikely on one player, but you are close enough that one or two players can really do the damage for you. Remember, obviously, if you take a -4 hit and your opponent doesn't, you've got 16 points to make up. And that starts feeling like a struggle, I think. 12, very, very doable, subject to what's in your team and what's in their team. Jammer says, congratulations, James, on another great season of content. Your hard work and dedication are really greatly appreciated. Good luck in 38. Looking forward to game week one. Well, thank you for the kind words, guys. It's going to sound terrible on the audio. Mahomie says, hi, James, your content is top notch. Thank you. I've got KDB and want to bin. Already got Salah, Bruno. What do you think of getting Son in and captaining him against that high Leeds line? Will that high Leeds line be high? He possibly won't be. And it's interesting how the game state might affect things. So we discussed on Clash of the Correspondence yesterday the scenario of, in what scenario do we envisage Leeds and Tottenham not being a game that's got goals in it? And we said one scenario would be maybe if Leeds went 1-0 up. What do Leeds do at that stage? Because obviously if Everton are drawing, let's say Leeds score after 5-10 minutes, and look at how Tottenham started games, it's not beyond reason, right? Let's say Leeds score first of the teams down at the bottom. So then they're level on points with Everton. At that stage, a draw is still okay for Everton. Leeds need two more goals. Leeds would have to win by three. So what do they do? Do they keep going? Or do they sit on the 1-0 and hope that would they look at it and go, Bournemouth were more likely to score once than Leeds score again twice? Like, how do you manage that? That's really difficult. I would suggest at that stage, if the crowd gets up, they just go for it. But I don't know. I don't know is the honest answer. So I don't think we can guarantee that that line will be high. And certainly if they are defending the line, it will eventually go very, very deep, I should imagine. Kesh Studio says, hi, James. I'm 13 points behind the mini league leader. What are the do's and don'ts generally in this situation? The first do is play it your way and not someone else's way. But a little bit like what I said to the guy who's 12 points behind, right? Literally one or two players can be that difference. I think I beat Tuj this week by 7 points. We've got 10 players the same. We started 10 players the same. That's because I had Alvarez and he had Stones. And that, you know, so if you've got two of them, that's it. That's it. Now, obviously, you need those players to return in that circumstance. Where's your advantages? Have a look at them. You know, I'd want to captain a player, arguably, that you're, I'd say arguably, in fact, yes. With that difference, I'd want to captain a player that your opponent doesn't have or you think will not have. That's number one. Because if you get that, if your captain then gets you enough points versus their captain, that can be it. That can be enough to overturn it. George Wade says, I'm 1 point ahead in my mini league with 250 quid on the line. Please wish me luck. I wish you luck, George. Dave 2 says, like the stream, folks. Yes, like the stream. Be very much appreciated, guys. It's about 20% of you watching live who have done that. If you're listening on the audio, the old 5-star reviews as thanks for the season goes well. Stuart B62 says, is Mitoma and Mac 10 to Odegaard and Eze worth it for a -4? Might be. On the face of it, I don't hate the sound of that move because I think there's big upside in the other two. So, yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, if you were asking me that question as in two free transfers, I'd probably say yes. So, yeah, I don't mind that. Steve says, thanks for your help this season. I'm going to join as a patron next season. Plug-in coming. Yes. Thank you, Steve. And yes, our patron content will be continuing until June the 9th as well. Although June will be free. So the 1st, 2nd, and then the 5th, 6th, 7th. 8th, 9th, the content will be continuing as normal, but there'll be no charge for June because we're obviously not going to put a full month of content together. If you'd like to support the show, if you want to give that true thanks for this season and stuff, www.patreon.com/planetfpl is what keeps the lights on and occasionally consigns me to having to record the live stream in a store cupboard, which is basically what I'm doing right now. The Atma says, sorry if you answered already, thoughts on Richarlison punt? Nah. One league goal all season, which was about a millimetre onside. Every chance he gets booked celebrating a goal. And he will take his shirt off and get booked celebrating anyway. So it's not even 4 points for a goal. It's only three. So no, don't think it start. And I don't particularly want it to start. And Nathaniel Chapman says, I have a gut feeling Kulusevski could make for an interesting last day punt. What do you think? Equally, he might not even start. So that gut feeling could just be indigestion. It's more likely to start than Richarlison, in my opinion. It's worth saying his best performances for Tottenham this season arguably have been as a substitute. He's just not been at his best for a while. And just in all honesty, he just would not be under consideration for me right now. I don't know if that's a lingering, oh, he did really well game week 38 last year. These things have you might not have thought of that at all, Nathaniel, but these things have a subconscious with us. We spoke about it with Kane and his final day performances. But measuring Kane over 5-6 years is a little bit different to measuring Kulusevski over one game away to Norwich, right? So, no interest. Wouldn't be in my thinking at all, mate. Super Saiyan 45 says, cheers for the top content again this year, lads. Love the channel. 2 points ahead of my league rival with both of us at 7,000. Congrats. Squeaky bum time doesn't begin to describe my cheeks. See you next season. Good luck. JP says, once the season is finished, could you do a video on the best players in the three relegated teams and who they would suit in the Premier League and realistic where they will be next season? Couldn't I just answer that in about 2 minutes rather than create a video on it? JP says, I mentioned in a previous stream a few weeks ago how Brighton players are a bit of a trap due to fixtures and lack of rotation. Think it's come true? Question with high owned lot. Well, but yeah, but then last week, like I said, no one thought Matoma would start twice and he did. So if he doesn't fall on the ball and handball it the other night, which is obviously correctly disallowed, then he's got himself returning, but in both games, margins. Look at his Stupinan shot against City. There were margins, fine margins between good and bad. His Stupinan's haul at Arsenal, followed by a zero pointer at Newcastle, right? There's your swings. I think in terms of ceiling this week between Eze and Odegaard, is another question being asked. Arguably, Eze's might be a little bit higher. Might be. Purely because I think if Palace were to win 4-0, which feels more unlikely than Arsenal doing so as an example, you feel like you'd be involved, whereas Odegaard might completely miss it. But remember as well, Odegaard's hauls have generally been in games against weaker opponents. And although Wolves have done very well under Lopetegui, I think that they've probably switched off now. Ben M says, cheers for all this season, top class. Thank you, very welcome. Adds 124 PS says, I fancy the midfielder Visser. Brentford should score a couple at home against hungover Manchester City. Okay, that's an interesting differential shout. Redrick 103 says, 38 points ahead in my mini league with one transfer. I'll probably do Brighton mid to Eze. Is it worth taking any hits or just play it safe? I don't think it matters either way, mate. That sort of distance difference is something freak's going to have to happen for you to get beat there, mate. So I think you probably do what you want with it. So, you know, don't go taking minus 12s and stuff. But if you want to take a hit, I just don't think it matters, mate. You're too far ahead. Kenny says, yuck, my team is in the toilet. I'm tempted by Villa players for differential reasons. Ramsey and Douglas Luiz in particular. Daft. Ramsey, a really good shout. Although I did mention about Douglas Luiz and in-swinging corners and on Monday's pod and Brighton having conceded the same goal in consecutive games against Newcastle and Southampton. And Douglas Luiz likes to take his corners like he's shooting, but he's far less likely to score than Ramsey. So Ramsey's a very reasonable punt, I think. FPL Invincible says, hi James, 19 points behind my mini league rival. Any transfer punts, differential captains? Look, if you really want to go differential captain, in all seriousness, I think Sonny is right at the top of the agenda. Purely because most people won't, we discussed it on our Patreon pod this morning, most can't get there. Unless it really falls into the lap where it's like Salah's not in the team and you think, well, where am I going to go with this money? Say you've already got Kane, for example. Then that's the one circumstance where Son really becomes available. Most people aren't going to break their team for Son. Therefore, it's a consideration. And what you're asking yourself when you're trying to make up a difference like that, which is a little bit more than some of the other ones we've just mentioned, you know, you start asking yourself, who's capable? It's one game, right? It's not like, it doesn't matter after this weekend. You're just asking yourself, who is capable? Is Heung-Min Son capable of having a mad one? We know he is, right? He had a mad one as a substitute against Leicester early in the season. Is he capable of the mad one? And actually, of players that are capable of that, he's near the top. He's just not shown it enough this season. But that's who I'd be very tempted by, I think, as a real differential captain. If I was looking to make up a fairly sizable difference like that, I'd be very interested in exploring possibilities to try and get him. Now, of course, if it's going to start costing you minus fours and stuff, then you're making up 23 points, aren't you? It becomes a lot. But I think in terms of players who have the explosive capability and will have next to no ownership, he'd be right near the top of the agenda. Lower down the spectrum, I'd be thinking people like, you know, there's a lot of focus on Eze. We haven't spoken about Michael Olise. Odson Edouard, for example. Odson Edouard is the sort of player I would never buy, I don't think, in FPL. But for 1 week at the end, at home to a Forest side who have now got themselves safe and secure, sure. Why not? So there's a few ideas for you. Colin Johnson says, hi James, thanks for the great content over the season. Best around Muster, mate. Doing minus eight, Shaw to Mina or Gaye, Isaac to Kane, Bruno to Eze. Best of luck. Mahomi says, my mini league rival has a free hit left and he said he's going very differential to try and win. Best free hit differential 11. I'm a bit worried considering the pot. Gosh, to read out a whole 11. Treble Everton defence. Yeah, sure, why not? Pickford, Tarkowski, Mina. Arsenal defender, I think. I suppose Ben White is probably back in the realms of differential now, for example. I think your people like your Ramseys. I think Eze, to be honest, might not even be a differential, certainly in terms of live ownership towards the top of the standings. So maybe like a Michael Olise. I'd be tempted, Sonny, like I said. Harry Kane's probably not a differential, but he's probably your safest captaincy bet in terms of minutes at least for the weekend. Garnacho's a really cheap enabler, as I've mentioned, the possibility. I'd arguably even still say Rodrigo of Leeds, as mentioned. You've got your likes of Bowen, Iheanacho, James Maddison come back into the Leicester team. Miguel Almiron. A lot of focus on the two forwards. Almiron's back in the Newcastle team. He's very capable. There's a number there. I mean, I'd want Arsenal offensively. So Odegaard, Jesus probably won't have huge ownership even now going into that final day. And again, without the information, they're the safest ones to advise at the moment. James Case is chasing a mini league leader, so need to make some punts. Is a sure replacement worth a minus four or a waste? Already taking a minus eight to bring in Odegaard, Kane and Trossard for Grealish, Willock and Haaland. So we're going into minus 12 territory here. I think the answer is that you're chasing, you start putting minus 12s on the board. So you're chasing and you've got to make up those 12 points as well. And realistically, now you're just asking me about one, a defender, right? So if you've got other defenders you think is going to play, you know, even a Botman, could a Botman return, you know, 8 points against Leicester on Monday night? Could he get a decent return like that as an example on Sunday? Sure, it's possible. So probably hit for a defender, probably not. And I think the problem is when I think of buying a defender this week, I keep getting drawn back to Mina and Tarkowski. And I keep thinking, the bookies, as I've already said this week, the bookies have got Everton as the highest probability for a clean sheet this weekend. And I think they'll probably get it too. Now, there's no logic in that. That's just down to requirements and needs and Sean Dyche's team and last day of the season, right? But I can't escape thinking, I'm asking myself, it's 1 week. It's not even like I've got this player on. Who is most likely to get me that 15-pointer, that goal on that clean sheet this weekend? And I keep thinking it's Mina and Tarkowski at the two. Everton are strong from set pieces. I think they highlighted on Monday Night Football, didn't they? 33% of Everton's goals under Sean Dyche have featured a defensive player getting an attack in return, either a goal or a direct first assist, which is staggering, right? And Bournemouth, under Gary O'Neill, have had a real problem defending set pieces. So it just all adds in, doesn't it? Do you really want to have -4 for an Everton player? An Everton defender for one game? You know, if it pays and it works, then it's great. But realistically, I'm not convinced. I think, like, say for me, if I need to make sure to Mina or Tarkowski to help facilitate maybe getting in Kane, I'm giving myself the reason, aren't I? I need to do it to free up the money, because I can't just go Alvarez to Kane, for example, right? So it could be part of, like I said, sort of Grealish to Eze, Shaw to Mina, to allow like Alvarez to Kane, for example. But just to do the -4 just for say, and the Everton player, I think, is what I'd recommend this week. Doesn't feel right, James. Doesn't feel right to me. Sriram says, I'm 78 behind my mini league leader. Anything you advise me to do? Sriram, my friend, have the very best of fun in game week 38 is what I'd suggest, mate. It's impossible. There's no point painting that any other way, mate. Aaron Hill says, am I crazy for seriously considering Awoniyi? Crazy, no. He's obviously in great form. Was it 5-3, for example? Which includes, obviously, 2 goals in his last away game away to Chelsea. So, crazy, no. He's got the form. Would I be interested in buying him myself? Nope. Aninda Das says, hi, James. How do you feel about a Mitrovic punt? I'm not massively keen. Because I'd be asking myself, like, I'd look at it and go, could Mitrovic score at United at the weekend? Of course. He's another one. Look at his goals record for his minutes this year. And, you know, playing in a mid-table side who have done very well this year in Fulham. And asking yourself, like, do you think he scores at the weekend? It's, yeah, if they create chances, he'll score. You see him hauling. It's last week. Now, if you're buying him in his Manchester United away and he's got Palace at home next week or something like that, fine. For Manchester United away, even a rotated Manchester United, do you see him hauling? You want to buy players who haul capability. A Mitrovic away to Manchester United just doesn't scream that to me. It screams to me, safe choice, think he'll score. Which is great. If that's all you want, like one, if you're protecting a lead, you're like, I fancy Mitrovic score this weekend. He'll keep my points ticking over. Great, cool. Most of us probably aren't looking for that kind of safety 6 points this weekend. We're looking for double pointers, aren't we, from players we're buying? That's what we should be looking at here. It's one game. Addy Tour says, hi, James. Why do you think managers are cagey on team news when there's nothing at stake in the match? I think this week particularly, like, they've all done their presses today, and reality is still 2 days to the game, so it's probably a don't want to get called a liar and stuff like that, so it's probably just going on the side of caution a little bit. So from Arteta's perspective as a perfect example, he's kind of dropped it out there as there are a bit of doubts, and I think it's probably as much as anything, probably just to avoid disappointment for Arsenal fans if they don't make it, that Arsenal fans don't turn up and it's like, where's Saka? So it's probably little more than that. It's probably just a warning for the fans. So if the fans get there's no Saka, okay. Yeah, Arteta said on Friday he'd be doubtful. It's probably that as much as anything at this stage. You know, I mean, there's no reason at this stage, really. Not that we'd expect it to happen. And I think it would be a, well, why are you doing it now? But if you take Liverpool, Southampton, I think Liverpool are absolutely assured to finish 5th. Southampton are absolutely assured to finish 20th, no matter what the result. And you do think, could Sellers and Klopp just come out and just go, this is the team on Sunday? Now, the problem with that as well is, they'll both would have trained later again today, and they'll both train tomorrow, and that's why I don't want to do it. They say, this is the team, and then you get there Sunday, and you're like, well, you lied. Well, player got injured in training on Saturday, or player starts feeling unwell. And that's why you'll never get the full information, unfortunately. Right, guys, I think that's the questions covered, to be honest. Quite quiet in the stream today, which I'm not surprised about, because it is obviously 2 days until the deadline. Remember, guys, play it your way. at the weekend. Very, very best of luck. I'd like to thank everybody who's contributed in the YouTube chat on the deadline streams this season, and also especially a big shout out to FPL Captain for his assistance on the graphics, the silent hero in the background where I say, "Cap, press the buttons for me, please, mate." Absolutely brilliant bloke. And I'll be meeting Chris, FPL Captain, for a beer with Andy Martin, our Leeds correspondent, on Monday, June 19th in Bournemouth. And it's welcome for anybody. We haven't decided on the venue yet, but that's 100% that night in Bournemouth. We'll go for a drink, England are playing. Anybody lives on the South Coast, wants to come and meet and say hello and have a drink with us, you're absolutely more than welcome. I recognise Monday's not probably ideal, but that's what we've decided on. In any case, next week, the Game Week Review podcast will be on Tuesday. The reason for that is Paul McNaughty and Andrew Ferguson from the 3-for-1 Fantasy Football Hub Sky podcast are in London over the weekend, and we've managed to arrange it so we can do that pod together for Sky on Monday. Paul, if you're listening, good luck. Paul is first place at the moment in Sky Fantasy Football, £50,000 to the winner. I can't recommend enough people think, I want to play Sky next year. Listen, if you live in the UK or Ireland, please play Sky next year. It's an absolutely brilliant game. But if you're only interested in the FPL crack, me and Suj will be back with the Game Week Review pod on Tuesday for the rest of this weekend. Have a great weekend. Play it your way. I hope your arrows will be green. And for the benefit of those listening on the audio, cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.